B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you, yes, from the garden, from our TD Garden Star Market broadcast studio. Myself, Maz, Big Jim Murray. How you guys doing?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. We've got a lot to get to today. We're going to get to the Celtics' big win last night in Sacramento. Some more Patriots thoughts as we get closer to the league year and free agency on Wednesday. More Robert Kraft developments. We will get to that. What else? Bruins go for their 18th straight without a loss in regulation tonight. Okay, we're going to get to that. And why don't we start with baseball, Maz?
Sure, I'm in.
Okay, because again, I feel like the baseball people, the few that are out there, get shut out with all the Kyrie drama and everything else. So we're going to open up with baseball. You want to talk some baseball, now's your time to do it. Okay, but I specifically want to get into the Stephen Wright suspension that broke yesterday in our show. Knuckleballer Stephen Wright out for 80 games, half the season, and barred from the postseason.
Correct.
For testing positive for lack of a better term, HGH. You know, just generically speaking, HGH. What are your leadoff thoughts with that suspension? I mean, where do you go first with that?
Okay, so when we started speculating yesterday on who it was, his name occurred to me because he's coming off an injury, and it's always the guys that you think, like a knuckleballer is a logical place for me to go.
Instead, why?
Because I think that's exactly the kind of guy who would use it.
Why?
Because
isn't it just the opposite?
Not necessarily. No. I think it's oftentimes a borderline guy that needs it to be effective. And I know, I mean, Wright throws harder than your typical knuckleballer.
Okay.
Right? So, but I also, but the injury thing was probably the bigger thing for me. Like,
It is HGH, not steroids, you know, ostensibly. Who else know, you know, what else he was doing?
But correct. So that was the big thing for me, but I sort of use reverse logic on that. Sometimes it's not the obvious guy. So he was one of the names I thought about. And so now, am I, you know, is it the end of the world? No. But I'll tell you what, in a lot of ways, if there is a penalty here for the Red Sox, and I'm not sure how big it is, because this guy to me was borderline whether he could last the season anyway, although he has been effective when he's gotten in there. It's a depth thing and potentially a postseason thing. Like, you never know who's going to pitch well during the year. Hell, they were bending over backwards to get him onto the roster last year, for crying out loud.
Well, and when Dombrowski went through his litany of bullpen options, he put Stephen Wright on the list.
Correct.
So if he hadn't gotten suspended, would he have begun the year in the bullpen?
I don't think he was going to be ready for the start of the year.
Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't going to be ready for the start of the year. But he would have been in the bullpen. You know, and at worst, he's a depth guy in the rotation. So it's just, you know, to me, I always I have a hard time defending guys when they get popped for this sort of stuff because I think it's just stupidity. If you're going to do it, but cover it up.
Don't get caught.
Like, how many guys do it and get away with it because they know how to do it right?
Okay. So there's the team angle, which, I'm sorry, I just wasn't counting on Stephen Wright for anything. So I just don't know how impactful that is. I am interested in the penalty. Half the season and the playoffs. That's really steep compared to other sports.
Sure.
Is it too steep or are the other sports wrong?
I think it's too steep.
In this, yeah, I'm with Murray. In this day and age, it's too steep. But look, this is what baseball wanted. You know, they like to pretend that they are the Sistine Chapel of professional sports, for crying out loud, and there's nothing crooked or sinister about it.
Because do you think fans care?
No.
No, but the stuffy baseball man is like John Heyman. I mean, they're going to continue to look at PEDs as harshly as they do, and God forbid, like Maz says, anything taint their precious sport. So if you do this, yeah, the penalties are going to remain this severe.
Because the writers.
The writers. Of course it is.
I mean, who else is it? Because it's not the fans. I don't feel like the fans care.
No, I don't think the fans do care. No, I don't.
All due respect to Shaughnessy, but any time that, you know, the voting comes up for the Hall of Fame and he, you know, anyone asks him, hey, why don't you vote for Manny? Why don't you vote for Barry Bonds? Like, it's like he's personally offended. Like, calm down, dude. Like, please. Even without it, they were great. They should be in there. It's the same thing when these guys get popped for it. If it were 40, you'd hear them crowing like, oh, that's not enough. Oh, rump, 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 rump.
No, like 80 games and the postseason.
That's ridiculous.
Well, look, I mean, that is a first offense. That's not a second strike, a third strike. That's first offense. Half the season and the postseason.
So just to put that into context for you, you wouldn't have had Julian Edelman for the playoffs.
I was just going
to
say.
Yeah. And all those same people were crowing about that after the Super Bowl. This shouldn't happen in the first place. If it was our sport, like, oh, God, you people are the worst.
So 8 games and no postseason. Are you just saying that because you're Patriots fans? If Peyton Manning, if the league had done its job on Peyton Manning and really uncovered what, it was pretty obvious what he was up to at the end there, and he got popped, you wouldn't want him to be suspended for 8 games and the playoffs? So don't, like, save your Patriot thing for me. If it was someone else, you'd want him hit that much. And he so obviously benefited from steroids because Peyton Manning at the end, I think, obviously was benefiting from whatever the heck he was doing. Like, out of nowhere, he's throwing 50 touchdown passes again. So it obviously affected, helped them win a Super Bowl. Helped them go to the Super Bowl anyway. So you would want that. So, I mean, I don't know. You tell me, who has it right? Does baseball have it right? Because I hate to break it to you, Julian Edelman was on steroids.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So he got popped. He sat out the 4 games. But all that muscle mass he had built up, all that conditioning that he had benefited from, all that recovery that he had benefited from, all that increased workload he was able to put in the gym because he was on something, that just didn't go away when he showed up in October. He was feeling all the effects of it and all the benefits of it, and it helped you win a championship.
Yeah, but you guys know as well as
I do. So does baseball have it right and does football have it wrong?
No. Yeah, but wait, we can't have it both ways, though, because, for example, we say Sean Merriman's play dropped off after he got popped, but Edelman's didn't.
So did it right away? I'd have to go back and look.
I mean, I think he pretty much vanished from the face of the earth.
That season? So did he miss the first 4 games and then come back? I'd like to go back and look at it because, you know, in my mind's eye, those steroid guys, it takes a little bit. Like,
so I'll look up Merriman. My recollection was once Merriman got popped, it was pretty much over.
I mean, Ryan Braun, I mean, so like when you look back in history, like right now, Ryan Braun's a different guy. But it wasn't so cut and dry. He was still pretty good when he came back. And it took a little bit for him to devolve into the guy he is now. He was still feeling the benefits of it, I think, for a time. And I don't know how long that is, right? I don't know. Scientists could tell me how long you really feel the benefits of it. But you feel the benefits of it for a time. So I think Major League Baseball, I think the whole thing's too stiff, especially for HGH. But I think they're sort of right to go to the postseason because that's what really matters. And if you're presuming that not everyone's doing it, then you have an unfair advantage by allowing a steroid guy or a PED guy in the postseason.
Well, okay, but again, so if there is a lag, and I'm not entirely sure there is, maybe there is. I mean, you build up the muscle mass, but I wonder how fast you sort of deteriorate. But that aside, 80 games?
That is crazy.
No. So you're telling me that when 3 months, he's still going to have the effects of it? Like, in his case, Steven Wright's a little different because, again, it was HGH. But, like, is he still going to be have the effects of whatever it was that he tested for 3 months later, which is really closer to 3.5 with days off and everything else?
I don't know. I think – I always feel like it's the year after, you know, and maybe there's a study to be done there. Maybe there's a nerd call to be done there.
You'll never be able to convince me that with the NFL, everyone's on something, and there's an unspoken line you're not supposed to go over because you wouldn't be able to have a prolonged career in the NFL without a little bit of gas. But when guys go over and it's blatantly obvious, or you know, maybe they get popped by a random test, that's when they have to make examples of X amount of players, I think, year in, year out. But everyone's on something in that league.
Exactly. I agree. I'm just saying, I don't know. That feels
80s, like, ooh.
Oh my God, half the season and the postseason. And again, for HGH. So Merriman was suspended in 06. I'm just trying to track down exactly when he was suspended. I believe it was 06. His numbers are something else. In 2006, the year he got popped, he had 15 tackles for loss. In 2007, he had 19. Next year, he had 1. The year after that, he had 5-0-1-4. Completely fell off the map. He had 17 sacks in 2006. 12.5 sacks in 2007. And then after that, 0-4-0-1-1. Okay, it feels like 06 was the year that he 06 was the year he was suspended.
06 for sure was the year he got popped.
I don't know for sure. He's got 12 starts, and I don't want to dink around on the internet and fumble around.
Okay, I'll find
and give you all sorts of dead air. But it looks like it was 2006. So in 2006, Maz, In 12 games, he had 17 sacks,
right.
15 tackles for a loss, 62 tackles, an interception, four forced fumbles, eight passes defensed. He was a freaking beast.
He was a monster.
And that was the year he got suspended.
Yes, it was. I got it right in front of me, the beginning of that season.
And that year, like, threw up like a freight train.
So I wonder, like, I don't know.
And even the next year, he had a big year. It tailed off, 12 and a half sacks in 15 games. And some of those other stats I gave you, the forced fumble and all those numbers sort of went down. So he went down a little bit in 07, and then starting in 08, it was all over. So I think the benefits, I mean, I think you've winded your sails when you've been doing it, especially you've probably been doing it your whole career, like all of them. And so you have that whole runway. This is why, so, you know, I was curious to see what Edelman would look like coming off the suspension off of steroids. But maybe really next year is the real, maybe next year we find out. You know, that's a year after he's done feeling the benefits of it.
Sure.
So I think it's too stiff. I think there's a case to be made that HGH should even be legal. You know, if it's, I do think there's performance enhancing qualities to it, but it really is more a recovery thing. And I think there's a case to be made that that shouldn't even be tested for or should be allowed on some level, especially in football.
Rodney Harrison get popped for HGH?
Well, it was HGH. Yes, yeah. It was HGH.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And he was never the same. He was never the same, but I really think it started when he ripped his knee in Pittsburgh. And I think he got popped when he was recovering from it. And I think he took the HGH coming back from that knee. So it was really a combination of him not being on whatever he was on. And again, who knows? In the NFL, I think it's 98.5% of them are on something. I mean, Rodney really was an amazing player here very late in his career. So who the heck knows? And when he got popped, was he unable to train the same way? I think that's part of it. I also think he suffered a really bad knee injury late in his career combined with all that stuff. But anyway, half a season and the postseason. Wow. Baseball's serious about that, huh? A little too serious.
Yeah, too serious. Again, and look, I'm not sure it's entirely the writers, although they're a big part of it.
How dare you taint our game?
No, but I think it's also, first of all, I think the overall general leadership of the game, this idea that they have to continue to appeal to the pure, you know, the purists out there. How many people are purists anymore when it comes to baseball?
It's sort of over, isn't it?
Gone! Way gone.
I mean, meaning, I think at the time of McGuire and Sosa and all of that, there were fault lines. You know, old school purist baseball fans, which was a really big portion of their fan base. Well, that was now
22, 23 years ago.
25 years ago or what? Yeah. It was 96, right?
98.
98 was McGuire Sosa. So we're talking 20 plus years ago that this happened. And I sort of think it's over.
It is over. Because the thing that was shocking about it at the time was, we'd never seen anything like it. Guys were hitting 70 home runs with regularity, and we looked at it and said, this is a joke. This isn't real. It's a video game, which is what it was. I mean, it got out of control. I think we can agree on that.
Okay, sure. Folks, you tell me this. Should Julian Edelman have been banned from the postseason? I don't think many of you feel that way. I don't think many of you feel that way. So is football too lenient or is baseball too heavy-handed? You tell me. And here's your chance to talk Red Sox if you want. You've been shut out the last couple days. 617-779-0985. Grab the open lines. We'll talk to you next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
It's unfortunate. I mean, I never thought that it'd ever come down to this. You know, I respect the joint drug, you know, treatment program. And unfortunately, you know, we couldn't figure out how, you know, this particular substance got in the system. And at the end of the day, it falls on me to try to, you know, prevent that. And unfortunately, it's somewhere it got into my body. And I don't know how, but it is what it is. And I just got to try to move on from it.
still love those excuses, Murray.
It doesn't matter the sport. Any professional athlete always says the same thing.
I just can't figure out.
I don't know how it got in there. Yeah, crawled in your mouth while you were sleeping. The PEDs got in me. You put them in yourself. They got shot in by your trainer. You know how they got in there. Just cop to it. We're not that stupid.
They all say the exact same thing.
I don't know. It was in my cereal.
It's so embarrassing. Each and every one. It's so embarrassing. But does baseball have it right? Are you glad? I mean, does baseball have to be so severe anymore? I mean, it feels like they had to compensate there for a time because there were a lot of people who, you know, treated their sport in a sanctimonious fashion.
Yeah, they had to have a market correction because of what went on in the late 90s.
Fine.
But this now, in today's day and age,
half the season and the playoffs for the first offense.
And it feels draconian is what it does.
When I think most people out there don't care. I don't think most people don't care. All right. So
now, that said, just quickly, he deserves it. You deserve it for stupidity. You know the rules, and you were dumb enough to get caught. You deserve it.
Well, he doesn't know how it got in his system, man. So there's still that possibility. He was ball gagged in the middle of the night and forcibly syringed in his tuchus.
Yeah, and I read, I think, in Peter Abraham's story that apparently this, what he tested positive for, is not in over-the-counter supplements. So take that for what it's worth.
Billy in Rhode Island, lead us off today. Billy, go ahead.
How you doing, Felger?
Good, man.
I got a comment about Wright. He's an idiot. The guy's a jerk. Who cares? The guy's terrible anyways. Do they have to pay him while he gets the suspension? That's what I want to know.
That's a good point.
Yeah, in fact, he can't even do that right. Because if he made good money, it would actually give the Red Sox some flexibility with the luxury tax. But he only makes $1.3 million or whatever it is, so they only save like $600,000. Like, there's no benefit for them in this thing. Half of me wish that he'd make an $8 million so they'd have $4 million to go spend on a reliever.
So the player I don't care about either. I don't care about Stephen Wright. I don't think he was going to be a factor this year. He doesn't feel like the greatest guy in the world either, given the domestic assault thing over the offseason and whatever. Like, he doesn't interest me. The half season in the playoffs, that interests me. I mean, God forbid someone who really matters. You know, just spitball. Jackie Bradley, Mookie Betts. If someone like that gets popped for something like that. Half the season and the playoffs. That is...
No, it's steep. Yeah, it is. It's
my God.
So the only thing you can say about it right now, again, I have a hard time defending the guys who get caught and not on moral grounds for sheer stupidity. I just look at it and say, you know that it's 80 games going in. So, like, once you know what the penalty is and you still do or still get caught, then you're a moron.
Steven, Connecticut. Go ahead.
Hey, Felger. I kind of disagree with you. I'd be fine if Bradley got popped for HGH. He can get popped for the whole season. That's fine. When I woke up this morning, I was more upset that I found out the dog peed on the carpet than I was Stephen Wright got suspended. And how about my man Ben Attendee? Can we get, like, an improvement season out of him? I'm expecting. Have a good day.
Okay. Give me a Ben Attendee thought.
So, I'm not a big Ben Attendee guy. I think you know that. He had two home runs after the All-Star break last year, and people can talk until they're blue in the face. I think the guy's wildly overrated, or at least up till now. He's fine. He's an everyday big league ball player, but I'd put him in the middle of the pack as far as what you're getting in terms of production and everything else. Now, that said, I'd rather have Ben Attendee hitting up at the top of the order than Dustin Pedroia. I'll tell you that. So I think Pedroia is batting leadoff today, if I read that right, and I'm assuming they followed through with that. I know the game's on now, so I haven't seen the actual game. But why they're bending over for Dustin Pedroia, to me, I don't know. I'd hit Pedroia at the bottom of the order now. The guy's had a bad wheel, and you're going to hit him leadoff?
Are they really considering that for the real season?
Well, Cora said it early in spring about how his hope is that Pedroia will be batting leadoff in Seattle on opening day. And I hit that. I hear that. And so
where's Ben Attendee hit?
So I think they're going to drop him in the order because Betts is going to hit second.
Right. Yeah, they ain't moving Betts now after they promised his agent or just came up with the idea to hit him second in the offseason.
So I don't know what it is there, but if they are dead serious about hitting Pedroia at the top of the order, I think that's dumb.
Adam and Lowell on the PED suspensions. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys, I think baseball is too strict. NFL's okay, but I think they should make some sort of wiggle room for if a guy's, like, coming back from injury or something like that. Because, I mean, not I don't know, some smaller version. Because if you got a guy coming back from a major injury, maybe you'd be like, okay, we'll let you take a little something to heal faster a little bit. But
I agree 100%.
Oh, but
yeah, I'm going to cut you off. We have a little delay, so I don't want to talk over each other. I agree with that 100%. especially in football, where guys go down all the time. And, you know, you talk about issues in the game that they really don't have an answer for. Injuries. I mean, remember 2 years ago when all those quarterbacks were out?
Yes.
It really hurt the league. And if I'm the NFL, I think the NFL tacitly encourages as it is. I mean, 4 games and you don't miss any playoffs? I mean, they're almost encouraging you to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, never mind.
They're almost encouraging you to have a good year.
Right. I mean, really. I mean, it helps you at the end of the day. Edelman was helped by it. He's on steroids and he had a month less of wear and tear. So he absolutely worked out perfectly for him. And no one's going to hold it against him because it's football. We don't care. Is that going to affect his earning power now or in the future? Or it's like it's a zero thing. So, like, if I'm an NFL player, I look at that and go, there's really nothing to lose. And I think the NFL wants it that way. But especially HGH. The NFL is talking about cracking down on HGH and blood tests for HGH. What are you doing? In fact, you should make it legal for guys coming back from injury. It's that important to your product that you have your good players out on the field, don't you think?
Well, so isn't the concern that it's often used in tandem with steroids?
And it absolutely is. I think 98.5% of the league is on HGH and a little cycle of steroids in the offseason when they don't test. And that is the standard. I just think that's standard across the league.
Yeah, and in that sport, you need it. I just don't think you can survive in that league without it. And I don't know, maybe it's the... Look, the big problem with baseball, people, is the tradition of the game. There's still people who are stuck in that to the point where, like, they get upset when you introduce the idea of a pitch clock, let alone, like, actually putting chemicals in your body to enhance performance. So, like, they flip out over that, for crying out loud. So that drives me bananas. But I do look at it and I say, you know, in this day and age, I think baseball has some metrics in there that allow you to go to a certain level as far as testosterone and things like that. And if you get out of control, then you end up getting nailed. So they've done a little bit, but I'm not sure that many people get offended by it in baseball. Are you offended that Steven Wright popped?
God, no.
Were you offended when Robinson Cano did?
Nope.
Me neither.
Nope. It's over. That thing's over. The moral outrage over steroids in baseball is done. So the league's overcompensated, I think. Vince in Charlestown on steroids, yes.
Mike, I don't know about HGH, but the Journal of Physiology did a study back in 2013 suggesting that you can feel the benefits, the positive benefits from steroids up to a decade after you've stopped using them.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing. Do you? I'm just asking, any personal experience?
No, God, no. I wish.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. Just curious. I don't mean to cast aspersions or anything. Up to a decade. Now, see, maybe as a you know, regular Joe walking around on the street, yes. I think athletes, I think there's a eventually you fall and then you fall off the table and that's it. And we've seen that a million times. It's just not immediate. I'm telling you, Sean Merriman, that's a great, I'm glad you brought it up now because it really sort of emphasizes what I'm talking about. He got popped in 2006, missed 4 games, came back that year, 17 sacks, 62 tackles, 15 for losses, 8 passes defensed. For a pass rusher, he gets 8 defense, you know. 4 forced fumbles, fumble recovery, had an interception. They were the best team in the league that year. You know, you went in there and beat them in a fluky game. And, you know, Marty Schottenheimer did Schottenheimer things, and the Chargers did Charger things. But Merriman wasn't hurt that year. In fact, the wind was at his sails, as you would say. And even the next year, 12 and a half sacks, 68 tackles, 19 for losses. In some respects, the next year was even better than the one before. And then after that, starting in 08, sack total 0-4-0-1-1. That was it. He went to Buffalo for a couple of years. Do you even remember him in Buffalo?
No.
So it doesn't last a decade for athletes, but I think it lasts a year.
It might.
I think it does.
I mean, I was just trying to look up Jason Giambi because he's another one who, like, all of a sudden his batting average dropped 100 points. He went from hitting .342 to hitting .250.
In 1 year? The year after his
In 2 years.
Did he ever get suspended?
No, I don't think he did.
So
he was named in the Balco investigation.
So Braun is one that I want to look up. Braun's a different player now, but it wasn't overnight. It certainly wasn't overnight. We continue with your thoughts. You want to squeeze Red Sox thoughts. Now's your chance to do it. Right to you after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio. It's Felger and Mass. Bruins game day on your home of the bees. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones. As promised, Jimmy might want to help me with line five, Nolan in Dartmouth. If you could pop him up for me, I seem to be jammed here on our internet. If you want to join us, it's 617-779-0985. Line five, Nolan, you're up next to Felger Maz.
What's going on, guys? I was just wondering what your expectations are for the Sox this year. Personally, I think the season's a failure if they don't at least get back to the ALCS. Houston went 2 years in a row, Toronto did, and KC. So that's just my question.
Okay, Nolan, a good broad question. Thank you, Jimmy. You can drop a Maz.
Yes, I mean, that's what I would put at their expectation. If they get to the division series and lose, that's right back to where they were before last year. So, and look, I'm not saying that erases last year. Obviously, they had a great year. The other thing that I would add to what he said is a division title. What, the wild card's okay now? Like, you know, and I understand they could win the play-in game and the postseason's more important. But I still will play the odds. I'll take the chances. I want the division. They should win the division, and they should get to the LCS.
What if they're 100 wins but lose the division?
Well, then it depends on how they did head-to-head to the Yankees.
No. What I mean is,
a disappointment.
If they win 100 games?
And they lose it to the Yankees, yeah. Because they're better than the Yankees.
I'm with Murray.
Vegas has the Yankees on top of the Red Sox.
Vegas is wrong.
I'm just telling you that. So that's okay to lose to them then?
If you win 100 games but don't win your division? I mean, I don't know. I try to be fair.
Okay, what if they go 6-13 against the Yankees?
Okay. I see what you're saying there. I get it.
So like to me, you know, if you win the head-to-head games, more often than not, you'll end up winning the division. Last year, they were in a little bit of a fight there. Starting in that series in August, they pulled away and they flattened the Yankees, and that was the end of it. So if you are a true championship-caliber team, you should win the division. You should get to the LCS.
Hold on one second. I think because our phones are a little screwed up. Sir, who's calling? Where are you from?
Hey, how you doing? It's going to be Nick from Braintree.
Okay, Nick, hold on one second. Felger Maz, we'll get right to you, okay? Just turn your radio down and make sure you're on a landline and hold it like a pizza, okay, when they talk to you. Thank you very much.
Your call screening now?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what happened there. He just came through to me raw. So I just screened that for you, Billy. I forgot his name already, though. You have to
Nick
pick him back
Braintree.
Up. Nick and Braintree on line five there for you. Danny in Bellingham on Stephen Wright. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Yeah. John, you know, I think that the NFL is definitely either has to or make the penalties more severe, which I don't think anyone wants because, like you said, I don't think anyone cares. When we used to go to the Red Sox game, we used to park in Brookline in permanent parking spots. And if you got caught, you got a ticket that was less than parking by Fenway. And if you didn't, you got away with it. That's how it is in the NFL. Julian Edelman to go back, he would go again. The penalty.
So, Danny, I'm going to let you go because your phone's mediocre.
I didn't know where he was going with that, but it's a good
analogy.
That's
a great point. That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Parking a meter, take the ticket, and you're better off than parking at Fenway.
That's doing steroids in football.
Absolutely. No, right. You'll end up paying less. And you'll be better off for it in the long run. Absolutely, as long as you pay the tickets and don't, you know, rack them up like 100 of them and not pay them. So totally, it's a great analogy. In the NFL, I think it helps you. It gives you a little break because the season is.
The steroids. Obviously, I mean, you're talking about even the suspension, the break.
Yes, I think it actually helps you out on some level. Like the year that Tom Brady missed, and it was unrelated to steroids, but the suspension. I think it made Brady a better player at the end of the year. I do. I believe that. I think he had a little more gas in the tank.
Of course. Danny's point on his comment line said, when did the Red Sox know about Stephen Wright? Apparently, Stephen Wright failed the test a while ago.
During the offseason.
Knew that the appeal was pending. Knew that this day was coming and never told the Red Sox.
Correct.
So how do you feel about that?
So that was under the instruction of the union.
So
I think, right?
Apparently the players are instructed by the union not to tell the team. Which, again, is such an a-hole move by the union.
Totally. And I hate it. Because, again, what you know, let's say it's a player of significance. And you have time, particularly with the way the baseball offseason is trickling
exactly.
out.
You go sign a player. We're not going to have your services, et cetera. Like, aren't we all in – what, you're not all in this together. I mean, it's that adversarial. That union, man, I'm telling you, they've helped ruin – that's a little strong. I hate that union. I freaking hate that union.
Too powerful. The players in that league have had too much power for a long time. Now it's not as bad as it used to be. Like, it used to be even worse, but it's still too much power. The only possible justification for it is that if you're a big market team like the Red Sox and you let's just say you lost Mookie Betts, okay, of all things, well, you have the money to go out and sign Bryce Harper. So you go to
if you know, what if Mookie Betts was the guy who told you?
But this is what I'm saying, is that by not telling the team, it could benefit some teams more than others if you did tell them.
Huh?
Because a team like the Red Sox, if they found out early
it benefits
enough,
them all. Whether they can go spend on a player or not. Just to set your roster, plan for the year. You don't think they want to know you're facing that we won't have you for half the year and the postseason? Everyone would want to know that.
Well, sure, they would. And I'm just telling you, though, that some teams can do more about it than others.
You're one of them.
So, yes. Like, ideally, should the team know? Sure. But the only possible argument for not telling the teams is, well, the team should suffer a penalty, too. Like, that's part of the deal. You lose one of your best players, it's your problem. Be diligent about
it. Okay, but the union doesn't care about that.
No, I'm just saying that. No, I'm not saying that's the reason.
What's the union's rationale?
The union's rationale is why inform anybody of the possibility that you are guilty of this when we can appeal it and it might disappear and no one will ever know. So why let the toothpaste out of the tube?
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. And in so doing, you really hurt your team? Like, that is just, that's painful.
I mean, if he were to win the appeal, don't you think we'd still look at Steven Wright and say, well, he still did it?
Yeah.
So that's probably part of the reason why.
Bob in Hyannis. Yes, Bob, what do you got?
Hi. I lived in Vegas for 25 years, and it was in the spring of 1995, and I was in a gentleman's club, and I was a bodybuilder. And Mark McGuire came over to me, didn't bother saying who he was. I knew who he was. He was there for a spring training exhibition game. And he wanted to ask me about steroids and taking steroids. When you take more than one steroid at a time, it's called stacking. If you take two or three different ones, you stack different steroids together, they feel that they work a little better. Anyway, so I answered his questions for 10 or 15 minutes, and it was very nice. And I never told many guys. I told a few of my bodybuilding buddies like that. But I thought you might find it interesting. He didn't say don't say anything to anybody. I thought it was very strange.
Okay, Bob. It was that one. Thank you. That you're in a strip club in Vegas, and I'm going to assume Bob was, you know, built like a brick house.
Yeah. Sure.
And because he was stacking steroids.
No question.
And, but so the most famous baseball player in the league just saunter over to you, the muscle head in the strip club, and ask him about stacking steroids.
Yeah. Hey, dude, you lift? Like, what do you do?
How much you bench?
Yeah. Exactly. Because I'm putting up 325 right now.
A little Winstrol, huh? Little Deca, what do you got going on there? Okay, we continue with your calls on this. We got a lot of other stuff to get to today as well. Latest Patriots offseason rumors, of which there are a few. The latest on the Robert Kraft situation, of which there is one. And a story that fascinates me, too, and this does it does relate to the Patriots, tangentially affect the Patriots, and that is Kyler Murray and his height. Kyler Murray and his height, I thought was a done story, was a closed case, 5'10 1/8. Apparently not. And this just interests me. So we'll get to all this stuff with your calls in our long commercial-free segment.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, you better hope Kingsbury takes him number one, because this was not good. This was the worst comments I ever got on a high-rated quarterback, and I've been doing this a long time. Leadership, not good. Okay, study habits, not good. The board work, below not good. Not good at all in any of those areas, see? And Mahomes, we're going to run an offense like Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Baker Mayfield. But those guys are much different. I mean, those guys, you never question about their ability on the board. You never question their leadership ability, their work habits. They were outstanding in those areas. This guy's not outstanding in those areas. It showed up in the interview.
Okay, if you're a draft Nick, this has been a pretty big topic, and that is Kyler Murray and his performance, and he didn't even throw, but his meetings and physicals and whatnot with teams at the Combine. That was Charlie Casserly, the NFL Network, just ripping him a new one from people that he's spoken to. Now, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of lying going on at this time because, well, I mean, there's a lot of motivation there. Let's say you're a team drafting 2, 3, 4 that wants Kyler Murray. You put out all this bad information on him to scare teams at the top of the draft so he'll drop to you, right? Or rival agents or rival quarterbacks or whatever the case may be, right? There's a lot of lying. So it's you know, Casserly's comments have spun into this the entire thing of what's going on, and now, like, the agent is fired back at Casserly and his former college coach. You know, it's a whole to-do. Did you follow this crap, Murray?
I do. I find it interesting because there's always, year in, year out, there's someone that's assassinating someone's character, I think, in an attempt to have them drop to the draft, drop in the draft to go to a certain team. Like, I don't know, Casserly, to me, didn't Belichick call him a meteorologist or allude to him?
Oh,
like
he hates
that?
Him. He hates him from way, way, way back when Casserly was on the competition committee, too, and Casserly...
The accuracy of a meteorologist or something like that.
But no, who's been wrong more than Charlie Casserly?
Yeah.
But it goes all the way back to Casserly worked with the league when... They thought the Patriots were cheating, and they were, of course.
But he's just one of these.
And so Bill butted heads with Casserly over that stuff.
To me, he's one of these league good old boys with a bad rug, and he's probably being paid by one of these teams to try to do their bidding so that this kid drops in the draft. That's what it reeks of to me. I know that's kind of conspiracy theorist, but I don't know.
No, so that's...
Look, a lot of agendas, right? I mean, like, were you talking at the NFL draft? Any league...
But is it possible? It's true.
Sure, it's possible.
Yeah, maybe.
Sure, it's possible. Absolutely. So I mean, I'd still take a chance on the kid.
So the most interesting part of this to me was his height. And when I heard, like a lot of people, when I heard 5'10 and an eighth, I said, uh-oh, wow. Because I thought this guy was whittle. I thought he was 5'9 and, you know, under 5'9 and a half. And you just, boy, you don't get drafted up there when you're that size. And you very rarely play in the league at that size. 5'10, you can get away with. Russell Wilson, you know, okay. There's guys who are in that at least neighborhood. So 5'10 was a huge number for him. But now this comes out. I'm reading from Pro Football Talk. When quarterback Kyler Murray sprouted from under 5'10 in August to over 5'10 in February. Is this true? Did he measure under 5'10 at Oklahoma in August? I don't even know this. But that's what they wrote. When he sprouted from under 5'10 in August to over 5'10 in February at the Combine, eyebrows were raised. I joked that maybe he spent 48 hours in a zero-gravity chamber before coming to Indianapolis. But in the eyes of some, maybe it wasn't a joke. Quote, I think that his height was inflated.
This is awesome. Go
ahead. I think his height was inflated, an unnamed scout told Dan Patrick on Tuesday. Quote, maybe it's the tinfoil hat theory. I just don't see it. If he refuses to be measured at the pro day, that will be telling. End quote. So this is just a common sense. I mean, this isn't even a football thing. How the hell do you fake your height?
All right. You can fake weight almost. You can, you know, right?
No. Easily. If you need to beef up, you eat. If you need to lose weight and make a number, you sit in the sauna for a week.
Like, sure.
Whatever. That's easy. You can gain and lose water weight and fake your weight. Boxers do it every weigh-in. And they gain 10 pounds after the weigh-in to the fight. It happens all the time. The weight I get. How do you do that with your height? Because you're presumably in bare feet.
Right.
Standing in your underwear on a measurement device thingy. Like, how do you do that?
Well, somebody either fudges the data for you or, I don't know, can you get stretched?
But question.
I'm asking.
No, question. I'm too. This is what this segment's about.
So I'm
asking the people out there. How does one enhance their height? He can't wear platform shoes. He can't stand on his tippy toes, and it's not like someone fudge it for him. I think the way they used to do it, and the pictures of Brady are all out there. You do this in an auditorium full of scouts.
Yeah.
It's not like the guy, you go, you'll make it 5'10 and an eighth. No, there's 30 teams standing there.
Right. And without you, because you're barefoot, without lifts, I don't know how the hell you can do it.
Now, I just, is it, can your hair? Like if you
well,
have,
no, because typically they push it down to your skull.
Correct. What if you've
but
got
if thick hair?
What if you've got really thick hair? Like what did Chevy Chase? This just occurred to me. It's a line from a movie. You know, 6'7", 6'9" with the afro. Like, is it one of those things where if you've got really thick hair, it pushes down and it gives you an extra eighth of an inch? It's like I need to know this. How do you? I think his height was inflated. How do you inflate height when you're naked in bare feet in a room full of people?
So I'm wondering, like, and I'm just throwing crap against the wall because I want to get back to the stretching thing in 1 minute, okay? But, like, I don't know, could you put, like, something on the bottom of your heels that was skin tone that no one would be able to detect?
That is, and if you get caught doing that, if you get caught doing, well, who knows, the NFL, maybe they applaud you. Maybe it enhances your draft status. He's willing to do that. I don't know. You, someone tell me.
But the stretching thing, I'm wondering if there was something, okay, too.
Don't you then have to stretch your head and your neck?
Well, not necessarily, no, because I think a lot of it can come in your spine, right? That they say that over time, what happens is you kind of scrunch up. And so if you were to use like a medicine ball or a training ball, you know, the ones I'm talking about, the ones that pump up with air, and that you lay on your back and you do this repeatedly, that actually can stretch your body out. Maybe it should be taller.
Where'd you get that?
I think I've heard it. I don't know that. I'm not saying I ever actually looked it up. I thought I remember hearing some sort of theory like this. I don't know if it's true. I'm throwing crap out there.
So, no. So he was lying.
I'm not telling you I believe it. I'm just telling you I think I've heard it.
I understand.
That you can stretch out.
Lies on his back on that huge workout ball.
Right, because your tendency is to hunch forward.
Of course.
So if you actually get on these balls and lean back and do it repeatedly over and over and over again, that your body will be at its maximum length.
Because look,
Murray's laughing at me.
No, it makes sense the way you're explaining it, actually.
I think in his case, a quarter inch, the difference between, and you have to do the math for me, 5'9 and 7/8 and 5'10 and 1/8
is a half inch. No, it's a quarter inch.
Thank you. I said a quarter inch.
Yeah, it's a quarter inch.
So, but that's a crap ton of stretching, man. Even a quarter inch to get your body to elongate by a quarter inch.
Well, no, I can get my body to elongate by more.
Oh, would you stop with that? But that is...
You need to do a little experimentation.
That's some stuff. There's a pill for that, too. There's that is some serious stuff if he did. I think his height was inflated, a scout. So there's scouts out there who think that he fudged his height. That, to me, is fascinating.
It is.
Everything else you can fudge.
No, it's hysterical.
You can put on weight quickly for a short period of time. You can take it off for a short period of time. You can train a certain way and take steroids to run faster or lift more or jump higher. You can do all manner of things to concoct a different result at that combine. Can you do it with your height? Is that really what he's doing there?
I want somebody who is versed in this sort of thing, like training or the medical community, to call up and tell me about the stretching thing.
Or just a real short, I'm not, you know, implicating you, but just a short person. Have you ever looked into these sort of therapies? Is there anything to do?
Well, no, see, I'm comfortable in my size, so I've never actually said, this is why I don't get hair plugs. I'm good the way I am, man. I'm fine. I don't need to do it for anybody else. I'm totally cool with
okay,
it.
Okay, I have that, and then I have a couple Patriots things I want to get to. We'll do it right after his 90-second update, and then we'll take your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.